What's up, you guys, and welcome back to The Revolution of the Black Woman Will Be Televised. I am one of your hosts. I am Danielle Bailey.
And I am your co-host, Tamika Rhymes.
Y'all, what's up, and welcome back to episode 5?
We're 5 in. Ooh. I'm still trying to realize that this is happening. We're sitting here doing our best. What? Our best work.
Our best word, y'all. So I just want to say this. This episode right here that we're going into, it's going to be light, okay?
We were a little heavy. We were a bit heavy on episode 4.
Yes.
But I think it was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the content was as authentic mm-hmm. and transparent as it could be. It was in real time. It's always unscripted. So you're getting the very raw version of our thoughts as we reflect on our thoughts, our emotions, our experiences, what we're learning, what we have learned, and how does that apply today?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that also, like, with this, we be processing.
We're real life processing.
We are real life processing some of these things, like as we talk about them and as they come to mind. And like, so I feel like, and I know that this may not be the best representation for it, but I feel like this is how I best can articulate it. Right. You know how people talk about the Bible is the living word and it's living truth. And that's why it's always able to
be applied
and it's new and it's fresh every day or whatever. That's why you can always get different revelations. I feel like that with this podcast. We Come can always get different revelations because
on the same subject, on the same topic.
Right.
That's good.
So like the episodes 1 through 3, we recorded those back in January.
Yeah.
And so that's why when you hear we talk about January 17th, because that's when we recorded.
Yeah.
But we didn't release them until later on. And it's like some of the same stuff that we said then. It's still
ministered to me right where I was.
Right.
Didn't really remember what I said. Once if I'm gonna be honest about it, I didn't even remember what I said. I know I was excited to hear it for several reasons, not calculating that it was gonna minister to me on my couch with my cup of coffee early on a Sunday morning. And that message recorded in January out of my own mouth, our own real-time processing, mm-hmm. helped me where I was when I listened to it in March.
Right. Maybe it's because it's authentic.
It's very much so authentic.
And maybe it's because that authenticity began to register with everybody.
People want what's real.
People want what's real.
Now, it's a little scary out here to give the real because you open yourself up to everything.
Yeah.
The mm-hmm. good, which means it resonates with somebody, which is our hope that it resonates to you, that it speaks to you in a positive way. It enlightens you. It opens your mind up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we open ourselves up to the negativity that comes with anything that you do.
Right.
So it's a very vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's worth it.
Me too. I feel like sometimes I live in the space of being naive, tell you the truth.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. I feel like that because sometimes I'm like, nah, that can't happen to me. You know? Nah, people don't think like that, even Ooh, though we. I know that people think like that.
Yeah.
Nah, like, and then sometimes I can do, especially in business. I don't know what that is. Maybe I can do whatever it is I want to do.
And what happens, daughter?
You know, sometimes it doesn't work out.
Sometimes it don't quite work out that
it
well.
It does not work out. I'm like, And so like one of my business coaches or whatever, she is like, she always tell me this. She was like, I want to prepare. And I feel like she sees it in me too.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be a negative trait of mine. It can serve purpose, good and bad.
Yeah.
But she always tells me, you need to have people around you. You need to have people. She was like, negativity is going to come
mm-hmm.
your way. It's going to, and it's going to be loud.
Oh
and you
gosh.
Need to be prepared. You need to have that people around you. She's like, people are going to talk about you. Not all, everybody is going to like you, what you have to do and stuff like that. So she's like, you need to be prepared for that. and you need to have people with you or whatever. And I remember she was like, she doesn't travel because like whenever, like they invite her to speaking engagements. So she was like, now I no longer travel by myself. My sister always have to come with me.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, and she's very spiritual too, y'all. And so she was like, you know, because of the simple fact is like some people don't mean her well.
That's real.
And she was like, Danielle, there's going to be some people that don't mean you well. Even though you have the purest heart and the purest intention, some people still are not going to mean you well. And you need to have a level of protection.
Oh my goodness. That's a weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a weight. I feel it.
So like, I'm just like, okay, girl, like just, but I'm still like, okay, girl, like, yeah, I hear you. But she like, I need you to hear me.
Like, take that in.
Take that in. And so like, I kind of like been trying my best to like take that in or whatever. And that's why I feel like I have a level of naive, and that begins to be like, that's how I be in a position to be used, because people can see it.
That you don't know better.
That you don't necessarily know better. And they're going to use it as best to their advantage.
Oh, that's so ugly.
You know?
Hmm.
So it's just like, learning all of that, you know, learning all of that and keeping that tool, because you want to believe that people are going to do you well, because you have, you know, in your mind, you have the purest of the intentions. And
always when you feel like you're doing something right, when you feel like you're doing what your purpose to do, what mm-hmm. your passion to do, what you're called to do, I think it's a part of our nature that we, for me, assume like you, it's going to be a success.
Yeah.
And then when you hear something negative about it, and it's not like constructive criticism is one thing, that's helpful criticism, but for somebody to actually say something negative that comes from an ugly place, it's intended to hurt you,
yeah,
to stop you, to stumble you, that's a different thing.
Yeah. So like, it's like understanding that, and that goes into our topic of today about friendship and
how many of us have them
friends.
I think I can sing today.
You did.
I think that was my note. I can kind of sing today. Yeah, in all honesty, I cannot sing to save my life, and my friends remind me of how horrible I sing, but I think it's a joyful noise unto the Lord.
That's it. That's it. I've been encouraging you, friend. Don't do me like that. So yeah, don't do me like that, y'all.
Okay. Friends.
Friends. Look, we got a friend calling us right now.
When I think of, for my experience,
mm-hmm.
the friends that I have right now are actually angels.
Mm.
And I'm going to get tearful about it because I'm so grateful. Are angels in my life.
Okay.
I believe that they are angels because when I reflect on what I have needed,
mm-hmm.
and the type of friend that I have been to other people, what I realized is that I was being the friend to people of what I wanted to receive.
Mm.
I never took the time to ask. You know, when you develop relationships, they just organically develop.
Right.
And I never intentionally asked, what kind of friend do you want? Or what kind of friend do you want me to be? Or how do you see friendships?
Yeah.
I just pour my love language on other people thinking that it is feeling to them.
Yeah.
So when I had to have that moment with myself and saying, I think that I am giving people what I actually want to receive.
Mm.
And then I had to kind of sit with that for a little bit. You know, my mind has to ruminate on it for a while. And you know, I get tearful about it. And yeah. then I want to count how many people. You know, this is a saying that we see on social media quite often. Stop expecting you from other people.
Absolutely.
Now, I feel like that quote comes from an angry place.
Yeah.
I don't know the person who wrote the quote. But the few times that I've read it in the past, and the comments that I see underneath it, it comes from people not measuring up to what we would want them to be, which essentially you're saying, you have not been to me what I have been to you, and we're uneven now in this relationship.
Yeah.
And so what was born from that circumstance is stop expecting people to be you.
Yeah.
And really, that should be a rule.
Yeah.
We shouldn't go into relationships with that expectation of them being us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That would be stupidity.
Very much
and
so.
And by stupidity, I mean me. I operated in that.
That's all of us in the world that we live in. Like, I think that as we evolve as a community, like as African-American people, and we grow and we learn more as far as in really and truly not the traditional ways that we were taught, and we began to expand and open up our minds, we began to see how foolish statements like that is, or whatever, because it's just like, why would I don't want to expect me from somebody else. I can see where you were going, but the message is, that's not it. And so you have people walking around here thinking and believing that message, and it's not until you get up on your own healing journey where you begin to say, even if they did give me me, they still, I don't think that that person will be value.
Because you're asking them to not be themselves.
Exactly.
If I need you, Danielle, to be Tamika to me, then you're not being Danielle, which says, well, what is the, who are you friends with?
And then it goes back to you, us also not being held accountable for being who we need to be to ourselves.
That's big.
And we are wanting other people to give that to us because we are not giving that to ourselves. Danielle needs to be Danielle to Danielle first.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot expect it from Tamika to be Danielle or whatever. No, I need to give that to me first, and then I accept Tamika and her qualities of what she's going to add the value to my life.
So you're saying that when we have our own void, we subconsciously or out of habit or out of whatever we were taught about relationships, we automatically have an expectation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that below the surface, it's a lot deeper. Remember, we already said last episode, it's a lot deeper than what it seems like.
Absolutely.
We have a void that we're looking for somebody else to fill when the actual job is for you.
Yeah.
You're supposed to fill you first.
Yeah. 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 But we've been taught all this time to continue to give everything to other people and then put ourselves last. So therefore, we don't have anything to give.
Yeah. So our expectations are warped.
Absolutely.
Yikes.
And you do not learn that until you go through your own healing journey and you get in spaces like this where your heart is open to receive. And then you begin to process that thing. Like, wait, there is some truth to that.
Yeah. That makes me want to go look for a whole bunch of other quotes and see what the reason to see what the revelation is for me. Mm-hmm. I can't say anything about the person who wrote it, what mind space they were in.
Mm-hmm.
That person who wrote the quote, stop expecting you from other people, may have already been to this part of the journey that mm-hmm. we're getting to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that may have been the intention all along, but people took it and ran with it from an angry space, maybe, or from an empty space or a broken space. Man, I gave my all to somebody and I thought that they would do the same.
Yeah.
It was an unspoken expectation. So I don't want to take away from anybody's quotes, but it does bring fresh revelation.
Right.
When you break it down and process it.
And then that begins to go back to the business coach, you know, me being naive and her saying, you know, like, you're coming from a good space, but people are going to take it in the way that they want to receive it. It's all about people's perspective.
And where they're at when they hear or read or see.
Right. And unfortunately, the U.S. is a broken place. A lot of people are walking around here broken.
It was built on brokenness.
Yeah.
If we want to be real about Mr. Columbus, it was built... Not with pure intentions.
No. So I can see how That's why a lot of negative stuff thrive on social media versus positivity.
Because people are in a broken space. And yeah. When you, yeah.
Yeah.
I could go on and on, but yeah, I agree with that. So my friends.
look as we beat that down.
But that was good.
That was good, yeah.
The people who I choose to call friend are tried, true, and few.
Mm-hmm.
And I have lost some along the way.
Yeah.
Especially once I started evolving. Not that they were wrong. Mm-hmm. Not that I was wrong. Not to point blame at anybody. But when you decide to heal,
yeah,
evolve, awake,
mm-hmm,
take up space, understand who you are,
yeah,
accept who you are,
yeah,
love who you are.
Come on, daughter.
Understand what your worth is. A lot of things change, and yeah, that includes friends, friendships, and some people hang in there with you.
Yeah.
I know for my friends,
come
the
on,
past 3 years,
mm-hmm,
maybe before then, you know, we didn't start having the conversation except until recently. So yeah. I can't even say if it wasn't 5 years, 7 years ago, have really had to sit with me in some hard places.
Yeah.
I've hurt their feelings.
Yeah.
When I got to this journey, I feel like the Lord drugged me here. Like, I didn't come willingly. My circumstances brought me here.
Yeah.
And I had to make a choice of what I was going to do.
Yeah.
And through prayer and supplication, a version of me that I have never seen before was birthed. But I came out on fire.
Yeah.
Not realizing that I was on fire until people started saying, baby, you're burning me. That hurt. Watch it, daughter.
Come on.
You're about to get cursed out. Like, I don't know what you on. Like, I had friends who had to consult one another. Like, what is Meek on? And because I wanted to keep those relationships, those yeah, that could survive what I went through, people who still desire to be close to me and I could trust them with the vulnerable spaces yeah, that I have been in, they have become angels. Like yeah, that's the title that I have for them now, because now I realize the depth of the relationship,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The organic nature of the relationship. And before I could come to that realization, anybody could be a friend.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh yeah, that's my friend from work. Oh yeah, yeah, that's my friend. And now it's like, yeah, I know them.
Yeah.
I know of her. I know of him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, then that's your friend. I'm aware of their existence. Yeah. I don't know how else to say it, but I can't say it's a friend, because if I call you friend, you're very intimately close with me.
Absolutely.
Not intimate in a sexual way.
Yeah.
Intimate in that you have seen a lot of the pieces of me that I prefer to hide from the world.
Yeah, they've seen parts of you.
Yeah. The vulnerable
yeah,
parts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that, like, for me, like, my friends, when I say my true friends or whatever, are, like, Meek has expanded for friends outside our friend group, okay? I just want to say that. You know, like, she out here blossoming, and I would say I tried to build a friendship with somebody that was outside of our circle one time, and she burned me, and that just closed me out.
That was it
for me or whatever. But like, I do wanted to give it a stab, but like, I feel like now I'm in, I don't know if I wanted to really give it a stab in this space that I'm in right now, because I don't even know if I want to have the capacity to give to them to be a friend.
Oh, that's a question that we all have to answer.
And I think that, like, with friendships, we have to understand that they are relationships and that they must be nurtured, that we must put time in them. We must have these difficult conversations. We must be willing to invest in them. And if I can be honest, in the space that I'm in right now, I don't know if I have the capacity to invest in somebody else that's outside of my circle of friends right now. Because if truth be told, hell, some days I have a hard time with investing in the ones I already have.
That's very honest.
you know, like making sure. So that's why, because we're in a group of circle. So that's why some of us may be closer a little than the other ones, because of the simple fact is that I'm willing to invest. If I'm willing to invest my time, my resources with you and into you, like you are a friend.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I have that for outside people at the moment. I feel like that where I'm at in my space, and this is about being self-aware and understanding who you are. I feel like that if somebody was to come and say, Danielle, can you be my friend right now? I would use them, because I would need you to hype me up or tell me this, this, and this. But I don't know if I'll be, I know for sure I can't give you that right now.
Can't reciprocate it.
I can't, because of the stuff that I got.
That's self-awareness at its best. And I say that because sometimes our desires and our excitement take lead over self-awareness. And it's not until you fall out with somebody.
Yeah.
And then you take the time to heal through that falling out that you realize, I wasn't ready for that, no way.
No, no.
Friendships, relationships, you know, we can let excitement and desires and, you know, I just need me somebody to talk to every night.
Yeah.
And then that desire takes lead. You introduce yourself to somebody, you start making connections and stuff like that. And then, like you said, am I even really in a space where I have the capacity to give to somebody what I'm saying I want and I desire?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, do I have that to really and truly give to you? And if I'm really, because I don't want to be a half-ass friend.
Absolutely.
Like,
I don't want a half-ass friend.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
I want to be the friend, and I want to have a friend who says, baby, I ain't got it. I love
Thank you.
You. I love you. But I don't have it today.
Right.
Could get maybe 15 minutes from now.
Right.
Maybe tonight.
Right.
And it's not always capacity. Sometimes it's time.
Yep.
Sometimes it's money. You know, my toxic trait is that I believe I can financially support everybody's small business, especially if you're a black female. I'm like, yeah, what you selling that bag? Speaking of, last night I was at dinner with this young lady who was talking about her business, and she's making oils, body oils. And
okay.
I've recently gotten into body oils because a friend gifted me some body oil. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to support your business. I want to order the sampler pack. And my debit card say, who? There you go.
Trying to be all supportive.
There you go. You financially in this season,
right.
Maybe you can like and share and post.
Right.
Maybe you can, you know, do something different that's not financial. But I say that to say, when I think of friends, you just said it. I don't want a half-ass friend, and I don't want to be a half-ass friend.
Mm-hmm.
So having a friendship where you can honestly say, friend, I don't have time today.
Yeah.
Or, you know, can we meet early in the morning? Or whatever that person is asking of you, instead of trying to trudge it out find it to give when you know you're not giving your best because you're self-aware enough to know that you're not at your best. Let me reserve what I have for me right now. And
right.
then I can show up for you on
right.
in the morning,
right.
tomorrow, next
right.
week. I can get back with you on this when it's good for
right.
both of us.
And I think it's because, and not trying to justify, but just give me the real, it's the season that I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm almost like...
You don't have it to start over.
No.
That's what I hear. You don't have it to start a new relationship of a friendship.
Right.
I need the people right now who already got me, who
yeah.
already understand me.
Right. And it's just like I feel like that, like, and that's why I was just saying, like, I feel like this season that I'm in, even if I look at my friendships with inside sister circle, like they continue to evolve because of like the season that I'm in. Like I'm in a whole totally different season that I've never really been in my life. And so like, you know, I can remember a time people can call and I'd be like, yeah, what's up, talking and all this other kind of stuff, like going out my way, making sure you okay. And I think that now it's just like, girl, if I talk to you, I talk to you.
That's just honest.
And that's kind of like, and it doesn't mean that I don't value what you say. And like this, like, I guess this is just my heart. Like it doesn't, if I don't call and check up on you, that does not mean that I'm not interested. It's just that I don't have it.
Yeah.
But if you call me and you say, hey, I need you
now.
Now.
Yeah.
baby, let me go ahead, make sure I ain't got no client right now. I'm on my way. I have 45 minutes and I will sit with you and I will boo, 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 whatever you need me to do. But you have to call and you have to call me and tell me that. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that that's what a lot of us are kind of learning, like, especially as we evolve, is that they might not call you, but she gonna be there. As soon as you say something to her, you bring it back to my memory. Oh, bitch, I'm sorry. My bad, child. And it's just, it's the season that I'm in. And I cannot stress that enough about with me being an entrepreneur. And I know that, you know, I know like a lot of people use that as an excuse, but it really is
all consuming.
You know, making sure that you have the finances. You don't have, sometimes you don't even have financial security. So understanding, trying to figure out where the next move, where the next money is going to come from and stuff like that. So like, that's the season that I'm in. When I lack, because I feel like I'm in a lack season right now. When I lack, it consumes me.
I think that's honest. I think it's real. I don't think that you are justifying where you're at. You're just being out, this is where I'm at.
Yeah.
And then you give that person, the friend, you're giving them enough information, honest information, so that they can make an informed decision about the relationship too.
Right. That's, and so like, whether you want to be friends with me right now, or maybe it's we kind of table it. We on a little break. And I have to be okay with that. They need to be okay with that. If we need to cry together, it brings me back to you know, the guy. And I feel like I love you, but that's not enough for me right now.
Love isn't enough.
And although it breaks me to leave or not talk to you, I got to do that because this isn't healthy for me.
I can resonate with that. In friendship.
Yeah.
When I got on this journey and so much was changing within me, and then I would learn about the change as I saw it playing out.
Yeah.
Which is scary all by itself. Right. You know? So some people who used to be close to me could no longer be close to me. And that played out, and then I had to realize it, process it, and be like, what I've learned about me, about the relationship, the level of relationship of closeness that we once had, I don't feel safe there anymore.
Yeah.
But I don't believe you should be thrown away either. I need grace, and I'm not going to throw you away. You need grace. We all need a measure of grace.
Right.
So, but I do have to find a way to protect myself.
Absolutely.
Which means we're not going to be close.
Yeah.
Or we're not going to talk as much as we used to. I'm not going to share as much as I used to.
Yeah.
But I do still love and support you. Yeah. I just got to find a new space to have that relationship with you and figure out what that's going to look like. And then you, on the other end, you have a right to decide if you don't want that position.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how I've lost some people. No, ma'am. If we're not going to be how we used to be, I don't want to be friends with you at all.
Yeah.
And I have to find a way to respect that.
Right.
I have to, if I got to grieve over it.
Yep.
If I've got to say, okay, this is where it ends, because we cannot come to an agreement to continue a level of a friendship, a level of a relationship. I'm working on being in a healthy enough space to respect their decision as much as I want them to respect mine.
Absolutely. And that just, like, while you were talking, the thing that came to mind for me was, this is how marriages survive. When this is like, we're talking about friendship, but if you think about it in marriage as well,
it applies
because people sometimes fall out of love within the marriage, but they stay because there are two willing partners to really work. Like when you came out hot on them boundaries,
I remember them boundaries. And it wasn't until after I was far enough into it that I could reflect and say, now daughter, you was using that as a weapon. And I had to be able to receive feedback from trusted friends who could be honest with me and say, yeah, it was, we understood where you were trying to go.
It was the delivery of how you said it. It was right. The delivery of the message more so than the message. And you killed the message with the way it came out. We get boundaries and we want to respect your boundaries, home girl.
Right.
But you can't come out and act like we've always disrespected something that you've upheld for a long time. This right. is as new to you as it is to us.
Right.
So
right.
Like, we all need a measure of grace. And it wasn't until that moment, until I was actually doing a boundaries workshop.
Yeah.
And processing in real time as I was teaching. And I was like, we should not use boundaries as weapons. Funny story. If I'm going to be honest with y'all, funny story. I'm in real time realizing that I did that thing. I used it as a weapon, not consciously, not maliciously. It was a brand new tool.
Yeah.
Didn't know it was sharp as hell.
Yeah.
And it just starts slicing.
Right.
Some things did need to be sliced in the way that it was. And then I had to do some repair work.
Right. Right.
For the people
right.
who remained, who didn't bleed to death. I'm so sorry. I had to do some repair work. I had to have some conversations. I had to say, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong. I want to right my wrong. And if we can survive, if our friendship can survive, then I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm. I think that, like, with Norm, for me, it was, I loved you enough. Mm. And I thought that our relationship was worthy enough for me to stick around and work this thing out. And that begins to go with marriages. Do you love that person? Even though I know that love isn't enough, do I think that that person, because of our history that we've had and that they've shown me, do I think that they're worthy enough for me to stick around until they figure it out? Because it's really you. I can tell you as much, you know, like, hey, that's not it. But it's not until you come to your own resolution that, damn, like, yeah. But is that person worthy enough for me to stick around until they find it out?
That's a big question.
And you base
that off. I think it's a day-by-day answer. Thinking out loud, I think it's a day-by-day answer. I know marriage is more legally binding.
Right.
But I think it's a choice. It's a day-by-day choice. In a friendship, in a marriage relationship, in mm-hmm. any kind of relationship, family relationships.
Yeah.
It's a day-by-day choice.
Yeah, it's a day-by-day choice. And what were your actions before?
Yeah.
I knew what your actions were before. I knew that your actions were valuable to me beforehand, even though I know that this person is evolving and stuff like that. But the core of who you are
matters.
Matters.
That's where the answer is.
Yeah, yeah, the core. You may change, but your core is not going to change.
Yeah. So you treasure the actual essence of that person.
Yes.
Is that what I'm understanding you
yes.
saying?
Yes, you treasure the essence of them as they try to, and you allow grace to extend because you know that the essence of them is still the same.
But how do you protect yourself?
I think that you start stepping away. It's all right, girl. I'm going to call you back later. I'm not going to talk to you this week. That's when you begin to even take the breaks if you need it.
Yeah.
You know, that's why people, I haven't talked to her. I haven't seen her in years. But when we picked up, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it was
that
just
type
like
of,
we never
it
stopped.
It was just like we never stopped. Yeah. Like, you know, it's sometimes breaks are needed. I feel like, man and guy, we are on a break. But I feel like that even if we don't get together, friendship wise, we can always come back because he has shown his value to me
as a friend
and has poured into me as a friend and somebody who I can actually learn from and grow from.
Wow.
We just may not be good together.
There's so many variables to friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with those variables, there's also individual perceptions and perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And life experiences.
Yeah.
So when you're getting to know somebody as a friend on any level, you know, yeah. if you're just friends to be friends, if you're friends with hopes of dating, whatever the scenario is, I wonder if we have to go into it blank.
I think so. Yeah. If you want to give that person a fair shot and allow them to paint their own picture, you do.
Let me take a note here. I'm learning in real time. As we talk out loud, I'm learning in real time because I think it's something we always put fillers out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we ask about certain people.
Mm-hmm.
And though we may say with our mouth, I'm going to give that person a fair chance no matter what I heard about them.
Yeah.
We still have a little bias.
Yeah.
You can't unknow information.
Absolutely.
Even if you didn't go seeking the information, we may be sitting down and I was like, hey, you know, I ran into this girl today at the grocery store. She seemed to be so cool. And like, oh, what her name is.
Yep.
Oh, Danielle. Girl.
Yep.
It may not be information that you go out seeking, but it comes to you and then you can't unknow it.
Yep.
You can't erase it. So it does become a part of you. You do mm-hmm. end up having some level of understanding that you didn't have before that does kind of skew the direction that you're going in. So I think you have to make a conscious effort.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm learning. I have to make a conscious effort to give that person as much of a chance as I need.
Yeah. And not go into it, oh, I don't want them to hurt me. I think that a lot of relationships we go into with the whole preconceived notion, I don't want them to hurt me. And we never, and I guess this is kind of almost it's fear based. And this is kind of like, I almost go back to the little naive. I'm going to give all y'all a fair shot until you prove me wrong. It is like, well, she kind of did, daughter. But then I just learned about you. Yeah. It has nothing to do with me personally. I just learned who you were, and who you were doesn't vibe with who I am.
And that's okay.
I think that we have to get to the that's okay part.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Because emotions get involved.
Yeah.
And if we act on emotion and our feelings are hurt, the emotion is hurt, it's a mm-hmm. dark emotion, then that controls behavior a lot of the times. You have to intentionally work on acknowledging your emotion, but it not controlling your behavior.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's
good. And that's how you get to, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, they curse me out. Okay, baby, if that's what you needed, because my emotion says we just need to take it outside.
Come on.
At this point, right. We just need to take it to the street. But if I say acknowledge, now that hurt. And my emotion says, ouch, 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 defense time.
Yeah.
But I have to have enough intellect in that, emotional intellect, to say it does not have to control my behavior.
Absolutely.
I understand we're in a tough place in our relationship, friendship. I understand that it's not going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I do understand that maybe this is a point where we, like you said, take a break.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a point where we just don't have that level of relationship anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's I speak to you when I see you.
Right, right.
You know, there can be a it's okay.
Yeah.
Without, you know, a falling out, a fight, you know, anything. It doesn't have to be dramatic for your life to naturally end courses with somebody.
Right, right, right. You can still be the same. You can still have the level of respect for that person. I think that you would, is it, I can't think of the word right now. Amicable. Amicable. That's you get it. Amicable. Mommy says.
Amicable.
So yeah, I feel like you can still have that type of like end with a friend or any type of relationships.
But is that new to our culture?
I think that it's not new to our culture. I think it's less practiced in our culture.
So it's rare.
It's rare, yeah. It's practice, but it's less practice because we have been taught how to thrive off of anger, off of, and we all go back to the angry black woman or the angry black man. Like, we have been taught to even with not feel our emotions and all that other kind of stuff growing up. So I think it's rare because that's not what we're taught.
Let me tell you what brings me to that question. And thank you for your answer, because that helps my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I recently went through some things, and emotionally, people wanted to be angry for me.
Yeah.
They didn't understand my response to the situation, and how could you be so calm? And I even got, you must be stupid, you know, because my response was not what you typically see in society.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't what you typically see on social media. It's not typically what you see on TV.
Yeah.
Because it's not dramatic.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. it wouldn't sell if it was on TV.
Come on.
But what I felt was I followed my heart.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you follow what's truly in your spirit, in any situation, it's going to resolve in yeah. some way.
Mm-hmm.
So my question came from, because I had such an overwhelming amount of feedback that I didn't ask for about a situation that I was going through, and yeah. why you're not mad, and why you're not angry, and why you're not doing this, and, you know, they deserve this, and they deserve that, and I'm mad for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I mean, I can't say that I'm not mad, angry, disappointed, upset, whatever the situation calls for.
Yeah.
I can say I'm making a choice to do something that feels more right with me.
Right, right.
I don't feel like I need to hurt them worse than they hurt me.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I need to hit them lower because they hit me.
Right.
Now, I don't feel like I got to swing back this time.
Right.
Even though everyone else feels like you need to swing back and you need to hit harder.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. that's what brings me to that question. Is it not so prevalent in our culture?
And that goes back to why you were talking. That goes back to why I stick around. The essence of who you are is worth the essence of, this is who I am to my core. It's not to sometimes swing back. It's not to do that. It's, this is what I feel on the inside. This is my core. This is what I'm going to do. And my core is not rah, 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 rah.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that just goes back to the essence of who that person really is. And we not operating, because a lot of people don't know who they are. So we're not operating from the essence of who you really are, because you don't know.
Yeah. We've got some layers.
What? It's like a blooming onion.
There's a lot of layers to it.
Mm-hmm.
To each person individually, that's where grace comes in.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're individual with many layers, and those layers evolve
mm-hmm.
on every level.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So
I see that, like we said, grace is required to have for each other, but I also see so much beauty in that.
Yes.
That's what makes you the gift.
Mm-hmm.
Having so many layers of intangible gifts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Intangible gifts is what make you the whole person, a blessing in somebody else's life. And yeah. I think that's maybe where I was going, and I didn't quite know it when I said my friends are angels.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they minister to me and I don't even know it until I reflect upon it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just know we had an interaction. I feel great. I got this adrenaline. Mm-hmm. We're both, you know, excited, and we didn't do anything but connect, organically right. connect.
And that's why it's so important that we accept people for who they are, and we expect people to be themselves, or, you know, not expecting people to be us, because then
you don't get a true picture,
and we rob ourselves and them of experiencing their true essence.
Wow.
Because
that undoes, undoes everything in my brain as far as in how I was raised to be, quote unquote, daddy's perfect girl, mm-hmm. daddy's good girl.
Yeah.
Or just, if it's not daddy, good girl. The good, society yeah. Right. view of what a good girl is.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to lose authenticity.
Right.
I started to lose authenticity. So much so that when I went back in doing my healing work, I thought, oh, I just need to heal from the past 15 years. And then when I started, it was like, no.
No, yeah.
No, healing goes way further.
Mm-hmm.
Things
mm-hmm.
that you didn't even know was trauma. It
right.
was lifestyle.
Right.
It was survival.
Right.
And back to friends. You're the person that you are right now is a gift.
Yep.
Now, you may not be a gift to everybody. Because we just don't naturally mix with everybody.
Absolutely.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing that you're not that I'm a gift to Danielle, but I'm not a gift to Shania.
Yeah.
It's okay that I gel with Shania on a cordial level
mm-hmm.
and I gel with Danielle on a more intimate, personal level. We can talk about things that we wouldn't talk about in the open.
Yeah.
It's levels to it.
Uh-huh. It is. And I would even say, just continue on the spirit of being transparent or whatever, with understanding that it's okay, that's okay, is having to be okay with you making other friends.
Yeah.
Outside of our circle, and then looking at those people and then like being angry or upset and not understanding. And I remember I don't know if it was in therapy or if it was in something to me. And I was like, look at her, look at them, they over there, blah, 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 this, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, but that was fueling the insecurities that was inside of me. That had nothing to do with them girls.
And oftentimes we are not that self-aware to know it.
And it took me a while to say, them girl, that ain't got nothing to do with that. That ain't that girl's fault. That's your insecurities that you have on the inside of you that you are portraying, you are projecting on them. That's you, dog. Go. That's why you're in therapy. Call your therapist. Hey, I just figured this out, you know? And it has nothing to do with them. And then I remember, you remember, we had that conversation where I am glad that they were able to give you something that we couldn't give you in that time.
I remember that. That is still very it's a revelation to me every time I think on it. Yeah. I get something new from it for myself and for our friendship.
Right.
And I'm grateful that we were able to have that conversation, because we went from, it was tense.
Yeah.
And then it was tense times 10. And then it was tears and hollering and cussing.
Yeah.
And then it was like,
Shut down.
I'm about to get my keys and get out of here.
Yep.
You know, and it was vulnerable.
Yep.
And then I felt like we came to a great understanding. And the relationship, the friendship got even richer at that point. But we had to sit in some tough emotions.
Yeah.
While trying to figure out, this emotion about to take over. We just gonna have to let it do what it do. Because that's where a lot of friendships fall apart. The emotion takes over. And it's not that you can't have emotion. It's that you have to be aware of the emotion so that it doesn't control your behavior.
Absolutely.
I love you. And I have an insecurity that has caused me to feel a certain kind of way about you having other friends.
Yeah.
I joked about this last night.
Yeah.
You know, made fun of it last night with a friend who had friends.
Yeah.
Who was like, they call each other sister. And I was like, I know not. Y'all not close like we close.
Yeah.
And while it was all joking and fun, I do honestly, as I'm talking about it out loud, I do honestly think it comes from a place of insecurity.
Yeah, yeah. Like I know that for me, somebody trying to take my spot. You ain't me. And then it was just other things that, you know, from childhood, growing up, self-esteem issues that kind of played a part into it, you know.
We pack a lot with us.
Yeah.
And I don't think we give ourselves enough time. I'm going to speak for me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't give myself enough time to really get to know me. I didn't give myself, Mm-mm. I didn't even know I needed to know me.
Right.
When people said things like that to me as I was a young teen, maybe in my early 20s, you need to know yourself before you have kids.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know yourself before you, you know, get married, whatever the case is. I didn't know what that meant, and I didn't keep it in my mind.
Right.
Honestly speaking,
mm-hmm.
you know, I wasn't at that level of thinking. I wasn't at that level of evolving. I didn't even know I was evolving.
Right.
You know, in my mind, we just grow up, you just get old. I didn't have anything in between that. Get a job, get married, have a family. I was so on a superficial level in life that I didn't give much a thought unless it was critical.
Yeah.
You know, I knew I had to go to college. I knew I had to get a job. I knew I was going to be paying bills. I knew I didn't want to be in lifelong debt. I knew that I had a certain financial goal as far as I cannot live paycheck to paycheck. That is traumatic for me. And then I knew I considered that life would go on. I would get married. I would have a family. But the details of that, I had no idea.
Mm-mm.
And I guess none of us really have an idea until you start walking through life.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful for my friends.
Yeah.
Because they're tried. They're true.
Absolutely.
And they're few.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with having a little in number and a lot in quality.
Come on. Come on. Come on. That's it. That is it. And I value each of them for who they are and the value that they bring into my life, because they're authentically themselves.
That's so pretty.
Yeah.
That's so pretty. Friend.
Friend. So, all right, y'all. So, that is the end of today's episode. Yeah, I know. I hope y'all not used to those little episodes that we were giving y'all in the beginning where they was like 10, 15, 20 minutes. Baby, this podcast
is growing.
It's growing. Yeah, because we almost had 50 minutes.
Oh, wow.
But nonetheless, you guys, I hope that you guys enjoyed today's podcast. We will see you later.